Welcome back to She Is Radiant. My name is Janaea McClure. Last week on Instagram, I went live with Steph Fee. She is a content creator, mother of four, full-time engineer that I have grown to admire, and we've become fast friends. This episode will be a re-recording of our conversation that we had on IG Live. We talk about marriage, we talk about sleep training, we talk about all things motherhood and movement. I really enjoyed my time with her, and I know you're going to love this conversation too. So enjoy, and I will see you in the next one.
Hi.
Oh my gosh, it's been a crazy day.
Oh yeah, that was gonna be my first question. How was your Monday? Was it as horrible as mine was?
Oh my gosh, our Monday was a very Monday,
quintessential Monday.
Yeah, I had to take
okay,
off.
Do tell.
I had to take off the whole morning off work.
Oh no.
I know. Took our son to the doctor. Took our au pair to the dentist because her wisdom teeth are coming in.
Oh no.
Was running around all morning, pharmacy, doctor, and then our au pair's year is ending with us in November, so I just got off an interview with a new au pair, so okay. It's been a crazy day.
Oh geez, I'm so sorry. It's like when it rains it pours,
but I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. Am I the best part of your day?
Oh yeah, yeah. Ending on a high note.
You are too. I'm so happy to spend time with you, and even though
it was Monday.
It was very Monday. Work was long. I actually didn't have many like meetings today, but there's just so many things happening and I just can't like get them all straight. So it was just one of those Mondays when I just have a ton of imposter syndrome at work and I'm like, I just gotta push through it. Tomorrow's a new day. You know,
exactly. That's what I keep telling myself. That's my go-to anytime I'm having a hard day. Tomorrow's a new one.
It's a new one. Are all the kids down?
Oh yeah, they're all down. Yeah. We started bedtime early today. What about yours? It's 6. What time is it there?
Oh yeah, we're like right in the middle of witching hour right now. And I like witching hour. Honestly, it carries over into like age 4 and 5. They are feral at this hour.
It's yes. Yeah.
We get him fed, bathed, bed. But somehow those things are like not as easy as they sound.
Yeah. Thank you for taking this time to do it now because I know how crazy bedtime can be. Okay. And it's hard to coordinate a time from East Coast to West Coast.
Yeah, it really is. The time zone is not the vibe. But Maurice worked from home today so that I could do this. And I was like, I promise I'll make it up to you. So. But honestly, I don't think he's that upset because he's got like Monday Night Football on the TV and it's like his screen time. So he's just like, keep the kids in a contained area and I'll do my job.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How's Harrison doing?
We love a supportive husband. He's right here, just whispering in my ear.
He's just like, okay.
No, I'm not. I am making you a drink.
Yeah, he's making me a drink because I'm parched. Mocktail.
Oh, good. Mocktail. Okay, good. Good. You deserve it. Okay, I have our notes up next to me.
Let's do this thing.
Oops, and my computer just went black. That's great. Oh, here we go. Okay, so we want this to be like less of an interview and more of a conversation, but I would love to kind of start out with like sharing a little bit about each other. So I would love to know like about you. Tell me a little bit about your background and where you're from. And
oh man. So my story is kind of crazy and like,
yeah.
So a lot of people immigrate to the U.S., but I was actually born in the U.S. and moved and was raised in Colombia, the country.
Right, yeah.
And I lived there till I was 8, so my native language is Spanish. And then the reason that I was born in the U.S. because my dad was in the Colombian Air Force and he was stationed to work in D.C. So I was born the like year that he was stationed here. And then we moved back to Colombia, was raised there, and then moved back to the States when I was 8, and we've been here ever since. And
when you moved to Colombia, you were a baby.
Baby, like 3 months old.
And where in the States were you born?
I was born in DC.
Okay, nice.
Washington, DC. And yeah, I've been here ever since. My parents are the most hardworking people that I have ever met. And they sacrifice pretty much everything. Like, imagine moving your entire life and we moved with our suitcases, just our immediate
Yeah.
family, and we didn't know anybody else here. I think my mom had like one friend, and we lived in her basement. Actually, we lived in the family. She was a nanny. We
Oh, wow.
lived in the basement of the family that she worked for. They were
Yeah.
gracious, like so nice, and let us stay in their basement, like an American family. And we are still indebted to them to this day. We
Oh,
love them. And yeah, their girls are still my friends. And that's how we got started in the US. And
yeah.
then, my parents worked their ass off. And
You met me in college.
then I went to college.
Are
and
you
wanted to do
an only child?
engineering.
Are you an only child?
No. And I have two older brothers. Then
Okay.
they're 10 years and 8 years older than me. So it's always felt like I had three dads.
So, like, very much felt like an only child experience, kind of.
Yeah,
No? Yes, kind of. Yeah.
I had a lot of parents. And yeah, then I wanted to go to college to do engineering and paid my way through college with scholarships. And then I met my husband in college.
Okay,
And
that was gonna be my next question.
yeah, we met. I think it was like a finals week at a college party, and really hit it off. We're dated each other like that whole summer, and then things got serious.
And he was like, "Let's make babies." Sold.
Yeah, I had one more year of school, so I finished off school, and then after school was done, we were like, let's move in together. And
Love it. He's a math teacher, is that right?
Well, he was a math teacher for 8 years, and
Okay.
then he's now theater and TV studio and does all the things.
Amazing. That is so cool.
Yeah.
Does he get like, how is it spending your whole day with kids and then coming home to kids? Like
Oh my
my
gosh.
I
Do you want
admire
to answer this
teachers so
question?
much.
Come here.
Yeah. Like very like
Harrison, answer this
body.
question. Because I'm honestly just as curious. How do you do it? How do you do
I barely do it.
it? Just like, I want to talk to adults, please.
I don't know. I just get it done. I like my kids more, so that makes the
Yeah.
day end better. But and the kids I teach are way older than my little
Oh, okay.
kids.
Are they high
Once they're
school?
all middle schoolers, that's gonna be rough.
Oh yeah. Huh. I
What
have
about
not
you? Tell
heard
us
of that.
about your life.
No, I mean, I guess like, Steph, do you consider yourself like first generation if you were born here?
I
Like,
do consider myself first generation. Yeah.
Because you very much have like a first gen experience, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
No, and then like, I don't think it's a coincidence that the algorithm brought me to you. Like, when I saw your content, I'm like, oh, I like this girl. I want to be friends with her, and I'm gonna keep her.
Dude, I
I'm
literally
just
watched one of your reels from my For You page, and I was like instant follow, and then went proceeded to watch all your other reels, and I'm like, I really like this girl.
I was like, man, I wish Instagram had like a can I please be your friend and not just your follower button. No, because I mean, your work ethic, I think, is something that really stuck out to me when I started following you. Similar to you, I am first gen. My mom was born in the Philippines, and she moved here when she was 9 or 10. And then she and my dad met in middle school, and they have been together. They're divorced now, but they were together through, like, I don't know, early 2000s. Had me. I am an only child. Like, most of my experience is an only child, and then my mom remarried. I have a half brother, but we're 16 years apart.
Oh,
So
wow.
he is like just about to start college, and it's weird because like I still feel like I'm 15 years old. Like, sometimes I'm just like,
All the time.
this isn't
All the
work. This
time.
doesn't work this way. But yeah, no, but very much like yourself. My parents are really, really hardworking people. Like, my mom's got a crazy work ethic and has worked for everything that she has. And I think like I've carried that over. That's the biggest thing that she's taught me. And it's like, I think it can kind of, I feel like both of our content is very similar in that like we work very, very hard. Like, we were like made, like honestly, like made to work. And I think it's, I don't think we could ever replace it with anything. And again, if I stopped working one day, I think I'd just like replace it with something else. Like I love being a
100%.
mom. I love having like creative outlets, but that's still like work, you know what I mean? So I think if I ever had more free time outside of my traditional 9 to 5, I would just replace it with other things. So, but yeah, I grew up in California. I have a big Filipino family. Was always really like academically driven in school, went to college, moved back home, got my MBA, and that's where I met Maurice because he went to college in my hometown where I went to, where I got my graduate degree. We met and I followed him back up to the Bay Area. I was like, yep, I'm done. I'm done having fun. We're gonna settle down. And then the rest is history. We dated for, I don't know, like 3 or 4 years, and then we got engaged. And then I think one thing that was really nice is that we didn't think about kids right away. We actually didn't, like, it wasn't anything that was like top of our list. We wanted to travel a ton, and I'm really glad that we did that because we don't do a ton of traveling now. I think we got a lot of it like out
Yeah,
of our
we were the
system.
exact same.
Yeah, exactly. And so like, I mean, we miss it, but we are very much like it's not our time right now to go on like the big cross-country trips. And I really admire families that can do that with their kids. But it's like not my first choice, you know, to do that. And
Yes.
I think the time will come where I'm like, okay, like I really need to, raise little travelers, but it's just so hard to do that. Even going to the grocery store is hard. So I'm like getting on a plane and like getting through the airport is just it's so much work. So
Oh yeah, getting your
you
kids
guys
out the
travel
door
quite a
with
bit.
like their shoes on.
Yeah, you guys travel quite a bit.
Accomplished.
You travel, right? You go to the beach with your kids a
We
lot.
do.
Yeah.
That's like the furthest we travel is the beach, and it is the one nice thing is that like it's our family beach house, so we have a lot of the things that we need. Like we don't have to take pack and plays. We don't have to take
Oh, it's
like
already there for you.Eah,
the big
that's
bulky
great.
things. So that is one thing that's convenient. But packing every time, oh my gosh. Yeah, I need a whole week to prepare.
Then you come home and then you have to unpack everything. I'm like, where is the fun? Where is the fun? It is not vacation. It is watching your kids in a different zip code. This is like crazy. But it's
You
good.
need a
The repetition,
vacation from your
it does get
vacation.
easier. What was that? Yes. Oh my gosh. Every single time. Every time. Do you want to jump into some questions?
Let's do it.
Okay, great. Where do you want to start? Where do you want to start? We've got a few topics for everyone. We've got sleep, baby sleep, we've got working mom related questions, we've got finance questions.
Let's get in the comments if you're watching this. What would you like us to talk about
Oh
first?
yeah, good call.
You give them options.
Yeah, so we have sleep, work and mom related things, finances related, content related, marriage, or anything that's not that.
Everyone
Work
wants to
from
know.
home.
Let's see your mocktail in the meantime. Everyone wants to know about your mocktail.
It's just a Spindrift and some electrolytes, and it tastes heavenly.
Is your audience different than
Binge,
mine?
what kind of electrolytes do you use?
I like
Rock them off. Convince me.
the Redmond Salt Relight one. It's so
Redmond.
good.
I have never heard of that. It's
I'll
good.
show you what it looks like.
Is
It
that
is.
Redmond's?
I thought it was Redmond Salt. It's made from real
Oh, okay.
Redmond Salt. It's this one.
Yeah, I need you to give me a crash course on like all things protein and electrolytes and all of your concoctions. Do you want to see what I'm drinking? I am drinking
What are you drinking?
a diet cream soda with all of your chemicals, all of your aspartames. This is like very healthy.
My gosh. I mean, every once in a while, I will get a craving for a soda and it hits the spot.
And it's a diet soda, so you know it's extra bad for you. It's like taking 10 years off my life.
That's a great business
Okay,
problem.
everyone says, everyone's, or a few folks say working mom topics. So let's start there.
Sounds good.
Okay, and I'm gonna let you answer the first. Well, we'll both answer these questions.
Oh, all right.
I'm gonna let you start. Let's see.
Here are some of the questions we got related to working mom stuff. But if you have other questions related to this topic, please add it in the comment section and we'll hit on that too. How do you manage your mental health with all the workload of being a mom? So for me, the way that I handle my mental health is by getting movement in and sweating at least 3 days a week. And if I'm not doing this, my mental health like literally goes like this. You can tell the days or weeks that I am not moving my body because it just like, you can just like,
yeah,
see the stress coming off of me.
Yeah.
Is like the time I need. And so like my morning routine and my journaling and working out are like my go-tos for mental health.
Totally.
All the way.
Do you ever, so say on the mornings that you don't wake up at 4, do you like push it to the end of the day or just like, I'll just do it tomorrow?
I'll push it to the other day.
Okay. To the end of the day?
Oh, no. I'll push it to the following day. Like
the following
if for day. Whatever reason, I had a horrible night's sleep and like,
yeah.
I definitely do prioritize sleep over my workout. So like yeah. If the baby was up a few times that night and I don't feel well rested, I'm not going to like push my body to its limits because then that's also horrible. That's why I only go 3 days a week. So if one day doesn't work, I just push it to the following day. And my goal is just to do 3 days a week.
Yeah, that's great. No, I love that. Do you ever like compute the ability to work out anytime other than 4 a.m. or you just,
I literally do not have any other time.
Yeah.
Do not have any other, like every minute in my day is accounted for something.
Yeah.
And my husband works out at night. He has a workout buddy and
okay.
They go at yeah. night. So like my nights are, I could do it. I could work out from home, but I honestly, I'm not as driven to just do it on my own anymore.
Yeah, for sure.
What about you?
No, I'm so same. And I've my hat goes off to you with the early mornings. I'm trying to get there. I'm like, you know what? If I start with like 15 minutes earlier, but it's like I any time before 5, it's just I'm in REM sleep, and I can't do it. But I'm trying to get there. But very much like yourself, it is all like my physical and like mental, like my physical exertion, like directly like correlates to how well I'm doing mentally. Like I need to get outside. I need sunshine. If I'm not going for like, you know, an hour, like 30 minute, an hour run, I've got to walk at least half an hour outside. And I'll chop it up in the middle of my meetings. I'm very lucky to work at home, but I'll block off like chunks of my time in my calendar and just like get outside and podcast, I'll edit, I'll just get like sunshine. And that really, really helps me.
Do you ever take meetings? Like, are you able to take meetings walking and like walking and talking?
So I have a walking pad. And I try to do that. I'll try to do that only if I'm not facilitating meetings or if I'm not doing a lot of talking. So if I'm just sitting as an attendee, or if I'm like in an all hands or something, that's just, I just have to like passively listen, then I'll do my walking, while I'm in front of my screen. But you know, like I really just do that to get my like steps in. I know that like, I don't know. It's not the same as walking outside. Like I need to feel the ground under me. I need to get a good grounding in, like walking and on something stationary in front of my computer only goes so far. It really is physical movement. And I also like mental health wise, it's not just physical. Like my husband and I are really, really good at alternating like nights out in the week. So like I'll grab dinner with a girl, like girlfriends, we'll alternate nights. Like he'll go, he's really big on like working on his tattoos. So like he'll go and like have a tattoo appointment and that's like 3-4 hours. And so he'll spend the evening doing that. And then like the next week, like I'll schedule dinner with a friend and it's like, it just takes me out of the mundane and like the motions. And I'm like, okay, I still have these relationships that I really need to nurture and care for because they are still very important to me. And that really like gives me balance in my life. It's not, you know, it's not just work, kids, sleep. I have other relationships and things I need to like maintain that are still important. Like they might not take up as much as my time, but like we've gotten into that habit and it's a really good system that we've implemented. So
no, we're the exact same way. with our friends and with things that we are passionate about. Like my husband has things that he has like meetings for a few times a month, and same with me. So we definitely always give each other time to do our own thing. And that definitely also helps with your mental health.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next one.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's pick one that speaks to you. I like the one that your cursor is on right now. What was the hardest part of transitioning to multiple kids while balancing work, and why? What did you take away from that experience, and what advice would you give working moms who are considering having two or more little ones close in age?
I mean, with multiple kids for us, it was like when we were outnumbered. For me, that was the hardest, like going from two to three was harder for me than going from one to two. And actually it's funny because going from one to two felt easier to me than going from zero to one.
Really?
And I think it's kind of crazy. Oh, and I think
I listened to that wrong. I understand. Yes.
And I think it's because like from zero to one, because I was breastfeeding and I was a first time mom. I don't know. I felt like since I was the mom, I had to do a lot of like the things with the baby.
Yeah.
And so I like didn't even let my husband, even if he tried to help me at night, I would just want to do it on my own. So like was handling too much on my own. But once there was more than one, like I could not do it all on my own. So I actually had to ask for help. And asking for help is so important and underrated.
Yeah. And it's very hard for people like us to ask for help. It's like really humbling to get to that point. And then you're like, oh, I could have done this a long time ago.
Yeah. So people ask me all the time, like, how are you able to work out so early in the morning? Like, who's with your baby? And I'm like, my husband's with my baby.
They're literally their other parent.
Yeah. And with baby number one, like that was not the case, like, because I didn't let it be. But with baby number two and three and four, a lot more fell on my husband, which then felt easier for me because I gave him more responsibility. I like gave myself permission to let someone else help.
Yeah.
Do nothing.
And now I do nothing, according to my husband.
Yeah, you don't do anything. Step it up. Step it up. I think you need to wake up at 3, actually. I mean, for me, I like just like yourself, like 0 to 1 hit us like a truck. Well, it hit me like a truck. So I think my answer is better suited around just having kids in general and work, because when I had to return to work after mat leave, and I had a generous mat leave I was with my first company and I got like 6 months off. And that was lovely.
That's incredible. I mean, like, not compared to some other countries, but like for the US, that's incredible.
For the US, it's wonderful. 6 months fully paid. And then, so he and I staggered our parental leave. So I took my full 6 and then he took, I think he got like 4 months. So we had Jade home like for 10 months
until I'm
we
had, so and, jealous.
Yeah,
so
it was jealous. Like, we are not complaining. Right. And so, but what was hard, like the hardest part in being a working mom and transitioning to having kids period is like having like my identity at work totally shaken up. And I did not expect to deal with that so much when I went back to work. So because I'm so used to like giving 150% at work, like mentally taking work home with me, and having a kid was the like forcing function to not do that. And that was really, really hard for me, because that made me feel like I'm not doing a good job. I'm not showing up in the way that I need, that I used to. I'm gonna get fired. Like all these things that just come with like a very overachieving mindset. Like you're very, like very, very focused on doing the best that you can and like being the best at what you do. And having kids really put me in a healthier relationship with my career. I think it like really taught me how to set those hard boundaries, because like those are not boundaries that are negotiable. Like my family is always going to be more important than my job, but my job is also important. Like my career is very important to me. So it was a learning period for me to like strike a good balance between how I log off mentally, like physically from like my job, like turn it on to be mom after work, and then give my all when I'm logged in, right? So it's still kind of a push and pull. It's not something that happened overnight, and that's when I really question, like, should I be working anymore? Like what did I go to, like, why did I do all this schooling? I just want to like be home with my kids. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. And it took me a really long time to get back to like, okay, no, this is really what I want to do. I love my career. I love my job. And I genuinely believe that women can have everything that they want. Like, we live in a time where we can like strike a good balance between our careers, being present moms, like being present for ourselves and our relationships. It's not like pretty, but it can be done. But that was like, it really took me a long time to get to that, to this spot right now.
Yes, amen to literally everything that you're coming, that's coming out of your mouth. I'm just like screaming in the back of my head, like, yes, that is so true.
Definitely.
And oh my gosh, I had like a million things I wanted to add and say, but like
Please do. No, please do. I wait, did you experience the same thing? Like, I just felt like such, I don't know. I just felt like
so I
just like
think
a
as
fish out of
working.
water coming back to work. I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, I don't want to be here, but I also like need to be here. Like, how do I get back to liking what I'm doing again? So
Yeah, the transition is hard. And I can tell you, with at least the first three pregnancies, I think I cried every day for many, many days.
yeah, it's hard. It's really hard because it's like, you know, we want to be with our kids always, and that's okay, and that's completely natural.
So
But I
you got
also think
6 months of mat leave. I got 6 weeks of mat leave for all
that
four of
is
my babies.
horrible. I'm so
That's
sorry. That
horrible.
is horrible. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm not gonna complain about that.
But
You're
like,
literally still bleeding at 6 weeks. Like, you're still like crazy.
actually.
Actually. Oh my
Yeah, no,
gosh.
but thankfully we have the support of my parents. So my mom was watching our kids, and it made me a little bit more comfortable going back to work so early, but it was definitely challenging. And striking a balance of where to draw the line with work is definitely a thing. And I think when we do become working moms, like, we just value our time so much more, that when we're at work, I feel like I just became so much more efficient with like what I
Yes,
have to
with
get
your
done.
time.
And I swear, working moms can get more done in like 6 hours than all the men that are just at work for their 8 hours. Like, we can accomplish like double. I'm like, I don't need to be here for 8 hours. I got just as much done in these six.
Yeah, the amount of times I've had to bite my tongue. It's like, oh, you had a long day? Really? Say that again.
Yeah.
We love our husbands. They are so great. Okay, let's move on.
We got a question in the comments.
Oh, we
What are your
do. Let's
tips
do it.
for getting what are your tips for getting your husband to do more? Struggling with this right now. First baby is 9 months old and the division of labor feels uneven. I feel resentful and don't know what to do. Okay, this is very real and I totally felt this. And feeling the resentful part, especially like for me, it was like with breastfeeding, because I just felt like, yeah, but there's so many more things, because with breastfeeding, there's like washing the pump parts and all the things. And I wish I had really good advice for this. I don't know, do you have advice for this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know this person's like full bones. They could be a really good communicator. I was not a really good communicator in this regard. In this regard, like, I would hold a lot of things in, and then I would resent. So I would encourage this person to like really take a step back first and ask yourself, like, have I communicated this like to the best of my ability that I am like feeling like I'm drowning, right? Because I think what a lot of women do, like myself included, is like I'm expecting him to like read my mind in every way I need support. And Like it's that happened so much to the point where like we broke down. We're just like, I can't read your mind. I need you to spell it out for me. And then I would turn back to him and be like, that's just another thing I need to do, like spelling it out for you, like making you a list. But he's telling me what he needs for me to be able to help me. And so I had to kind of swallow my pride a little bit and be like, okay, I need to actually communicate the things that I need or where I feel like I'm stuck that he can actually do. Like the things that he can't control are like breastfeeding or, comforting baby, because there's only so much a dad can do in the early months. So I had to like really sit down and say, here are all the things I'm doing with my day. What can I like really get off my plate? Like, let's ruthlessly prioritize here and like relinquish control of the things that are not going to get done perfectly, but at least they'll get done by someone other than me.
Yeah,
And that was
exactly.
a
Like,
really, really hard step for me to take. But
it is
it
so
felt,
hard.
yeah, it's
Like,
hard.
for
And you're just
example,
like, ooh, I don't like the way you did that thing or
yeah,
the
like
way the
washing the
shoe
pump parts or
came
doing something very specific that you're like, no, those need to be cleaned like
Yeah.
way better. Like, the baby's
Right.
drinking out of these. And
Yeah.
like, you just need to let them do it, even if it's wrong, and not yelling at them. But, oh, yeah.
It's rough.
I will
It's
also
and it's
say,
but yeah, go ahead.
I feel like a lot of the arguments also rose from like lack of sleep and like you're just not mentally yourself when you're not getting enough sleep. And so having these conversations not in the middle of the night when both of you are not at your best and making sure that you're well hydrated, well fed, and have some good sleep before having like a conversation and not like fuming from resentfulness and
No, I you called out something really important, and that is like sleep is always going to be, for most people, the common denominator behind a lot of problems in a new family dynamic. When you throw a little baby in the mix of your marriage, like not sleeping, like I remember having like so much rage, and I think that really fed into my resentment towards Maurice in the early months. Like he felt like he was useless because I wouldn't let him do anything. I wasn't communicating my needs, but I also didn't really know how to communicate them well because I wasn't sleeping. So I think this person should assess like how have you communicated and how, like what you need. Are you guys getting the rest that you need? And then I think there, if you have done all those things, then the ball's kind of in his court. And if he's like seeking to be a good teammate, it starts with like you really getting out of your own head and making sure you're communicating correctly. That was
Yeah.
like the underlying source of our early postpartum woes. So.
And a lot of times, just like handing them the
Yeah.
baby and walking away, like a lot of times we think that they can't figure it out, but they definitely, like just like us, like
Yeah. And
it's
they need
something
to.
that comes with like learning. Like we're not naturally gifted at changing diapers, but like the
Yeah.
more you do, the more you learn. And if you just like hand them the baby, it's like you will get to know your baby and know the cues that help them be soothed
Yeah.
and help them be able to put them to sleep, and you don't have to be the one holding them to sleep every time. Like
Right.
they can learn these cues too,
Yeah.
and you don't necessarily have to be the one telling them like, no, do this, do that. No, just like give them the
Let
baby and let them figure
them,
it out,
yeah. Let
because
them,
they'll create their
let
own
them
bond
free.
too.
What?
Because they'll create their own bond too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, like heavy on the let them. Like I think once we started getting in a better spot between like sleep and like dividing responsibilities more evenly, I realized that I just didn't allow him to like be dad. And I think it's so important now, because like the fact that they're outside with Maurice right now, like if that were to be me, my first postpartum, like I would never take my eyes off that baby ever. And I'm just like, okay, you got the kids, go. And I think it comes with like you just got to relinquish the control and let dad be dad, because it's good for the kids too, because then they'll be like, oh, This is my dynamic with my dad. Like dads for sure bring something that we can never bring. And
Yeah.
it starts with like letting them do things the way that you don't really want them to. So just like, ooh, I don't like the way that you clean the couch.
Oh yeah,
But
like letting all the kids run outside barefoot and just like disheveled and oh my gosh, like just play with the hose and get soaking, sopping wet. It's like it's cold outside. What's happening?
it's like, when what was I gonna say? So when I went back to work with Jade, our first, I was still like rocking her to sleep and nursing her to sleep for all naps and nights. And so we were still not sleeping. And Maurice is like, well, I'm not gonna do that. So he was like really kind of the first person to go full force with sleep training during the day. And she learned naps very quickly with him, because she's like, oh, that I'm not gonna get this from my dad. Like, he's just gonna make sure I'm good, lay me down, and then I'm gonna figure it out. And
Yeah.
I was like, where, like, how did you do that? And he's like, oh, I just put her down for her nap. And I was like, what do you mean you just put her down for her nap? I was like, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. So yeah, dads really, they bring a different dynamic. That's so fun with kids. It's crazy.
Someone said they're going back to work tomorrow after mat leave. Oh my gosh.
Oh
I hope you
no.
have a
Baby
good
thinking
first day
baby.
back.
Don't do too much too soon. Just say it's a syllabus week for you. Get caught up, read your emails. People won't even know that you're there. So take advantage of it.
And it's okay if there are tears. That's normal.
Yes, for sure. Okay, which topic do you want to go into next? We've got baby sleep, we've got finances, we've got content creation. I love that you got some content creation questions, Steph.
I get a few every time I have a question
Yeah.
box. We
And
talked
then
about sleep.
marriage.
We talked
Yeah,
about sleep a
sleep.
little bit,
Yeah,
so
let's talk
let's
about
do a little
sleep.
bit of sleep training
My
or
favorite
sleep.
topic. Let's do it.
Okay, if you're one of my followers and you don't follow Janaea and you want to do sleep training but you're not sure how, this is your girl. And yeah,
I
if you
appreciate it.
need, she has, I feel like every time I like log on, she is talking about some type of sleep training helping moms, and she is seriously helping hundreds of moms every week with all her content. She is incredible, and she doesn't charge, which I'm like, girl, you need to start
Sorry.
charging for this advice. The
I don't
amount of
know.
money that I spent on sleep
And
training is insane.
thank you. That really means so much to hear from you. I really appreciate it. And I know I'm th okay, it's really hard for me to
And
it's
you
hard for
don't,
me to think about doing that. I'm probably not going to, but I will think about
you
it.
don't have to charge like some crazy
Yeah.
amount, but like I'm serious. Like I will literally pay thousands of dollars for someone to teach me how to make my child sleep so that I can get enough sleep because
Sleep shouldn't cost a thing. Keep your money. You know what? No, I appreciate that. I think like the reason I'm such a geek about this topic, and like I'm all self-taught. Like I've been in every Facebook group, all like I've been down so many internet holes, like learning from the best of the best people that have done this so many times. And like I just remember like the hardest parts of motherhood have been like up those late nights, not like being able to get my kids to go to sleep, and it was just so mentally debilitating. Like I will never forget those moments, and they just stick out so much to me. And I'm like, if I can help anyone get out of that and have their rest again, like that's more than enough I need. It's like it was the hardest times of my life, and that's really
Oh,
saying
sure.
something. I've like I've There's so many other big problems in the world, but like for the postpartum experience, that was one of the hardest. So I don't know, I'll
Yeah,
think
no.
about that.
The
Yeah,
darkest parts of my
the
life
dark
have also
times.
been lack of sleep.
Yeah.
Seasons where there have been lack of
Ugh,
sleep.
horrible. Tell me about your sleep training story. Like, when did you, I mean, I assume that you guys sleep trained your kids.
Yes,
Yeah, I
we
would
did.
help, like, give me the quick and dirty on
The quick and dirty.
Steph and Harrison's sleep training story.
I will give you the quick and dirty.
Okay.
With our first child, I did I did it all on my own, like feeding in the middle of the night, putting the baby to sleep. She didn't sleep through the night till after a year.
Oh my gosh.
Which meant that like I was not getting a full night of sleep. It was like broken sleep, and she would wake up 1, 2, 3 times. Like there was no, there was, it was all over the place.
Yeah,
and once we knew we were going to have baby number two,
yeah,
I was like, I cannot do this again. Yeah. I cannot do this again. I was like, I'm going to look into all, all the sleep training things. And before this baby was even born, I started doing all the research, and I came across, I think it's called Little Z Sleeps, which now they sold to Hatch. And I think coming out with, they're coming out with like a whole, I think it's going to be an app. I'm really not sure.
Okay.
But I loved, Becca is her name that started that sleep course. And they had this like whole sleep society, and like all the parents could ask all the questions.
Amazing.
And
what method, I guess, learned, what like method was it closest to?
It's the Ferber method.
Yeah.
And so, from the very beginning, it's just like set your baby, like a routine, the wake windows, and put down awake, but like drowsy and dark room, sound machine, routine, bath, book, bottle, and sleep sacks or the swaddle, like all the things, all the things. I learned all the things from Little Z Sleeps.
Amazing. How long did it take for them to get it down?
So with them, it's like the first 4 months, everything is just like learning about the routine and the schedules and the wake windows. But once you hit 4 months, then you can do the, like put down and check it every 10 minutes kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was still keeping the one feed because the baby was waking up like multiple times to feed. But at 4 months, it was like, okay to keep just one feed. So we went down to one feed, and then at 6 months, full on, like hard stop.
Yeah.
No more feeds in the night. And at 6 months, totally sleep trained. And then with baby number three, she was born in the winter, and our kids brought home all the germs.
Oh.
So she was just like sick constantly. So I could not sleep train her. It was, I felt horrible. And so, and she had a butt rash from being sick because her poop was so acidic that she had this butt rash for like, I'm not kidding. She had like a butt rash for like 6 months, and we tried everything.
Poor thing.
And I couldn't, if she cried in the middle of the night, I was just like instantly up changing her diaper. Like it was so stressful.
Oh, no.
She didn't sleep through the night until 15 months.
Oh.
And at 15 months is when we sleep trained. And then with baby number four, the same thing happened. I'm like, this cannot happen again.
You're just like, we're done. We're done. Four is it. We're done. Did you always want four kids?
I did. But after number three, I was like, we're done. We're done. And then
no more
got her other plans.
I mean, how, so when you sleep trained them, was it over like a gradual period of time, or was it like for over a week?
So with our second son, our second born, I'm like, no joke, in 3 days he was sleep trained.
Amazing.
And every day, like they start, like the first day, yes, is horrible. Like they cry for like 30 to 40 minutes, sometimes more. But then day two, it goes down to like 20 to 10 minutes. Day three, they cry for like five. Yeah. And then after day three, sometimes it's up to a week or 2 weeks. I don't know. I feel like we had a very lucky situation.
Yeah.
They just learn to put themselves down. Like they kind of like have a little bit of crying.
I give up.
They self-soothe. Yeah.
I can do this. Yeah.
And with baby number four, I was like very hard on sleep training. And then there's always, my parents were like, this is not right. Like they brought back the parent guilt and made me feel bad about it. But at 6 months, I'm not joking, he was waking up like 6 to 7 times a night.
No,
and my husband and I are like, we can't do this anymore.
We cannot survive like this. No.
So at 6 months, which was no joke, Christmas Day, we're like, we're sleep training.
We're sleep training.
This Merry is our Christmas present to ourselves.
Amen to that. No, that's good. Honestly, and it's like something I also tell moms that are like, they're moms of multiples, is like, it's also really good for your other kids too, to like have like to know that you'll have the time with them if you sleep train, you know, your younger ones, or
you're just a better mom. You show up a better mom when you're getting enough sleep.
Oh, totally, totally. And you know, I mean, you like, I mean, you can't, what is the saying? You can't pour from an empty cup. Like that is the decision to sleep train. And I remember talking to a mom who was like, oh, like we sleep trained our first, but I'm like finding the decision like really, really hard to sleep train our second. Like, I don't know. Like I love the snuggles. I don't know if I want to sleep train her. And like what I responded to her is I was like, you know, do you want your daughters to have like a very different experience? You know, do you want your oldest to be able to like sleep well in different environments? And then like your younger one is not going to have that experience. And she's like, oh, I never really thought about it that way. But it's good for like, it's good, especially, I mean, it's good for anyone, but it's good in families with multiple kids. Cause once you sleep train your younger ones, you've now got like the extra time with your older ones. Like if they need you, or if they're staying up later, you can spend time with them. So that's what I'm finding. Like when we sleep trained our third, I was like, it was still hard. It doesn't get any easier the more kids you have. Like it still sucks to go through the process, but I'm like, my older kids deserve time with me too. And so like once we got through the sleep training process with our youngest, I was like, I'm so glad we did that. I'm so glad it's over. Like he's sleeping well. Everyone's sleeping well. Everyone's got time for each other.
Yeah. So, what helped me get through like the hump of like, is this right for us?
Yeah.
Is this like the right thing to do for like a small child is like, mm-hmm. you're giving them the tools to learn healthy sleep habits. Yeah. And if the tool that you want them to learn is that they need a contact nap or they need mm-hmm. your help to fall asleep, yeah. and you will continue that, like you will be there until 3, 4, 5, 6, like,
yeah.
And then they will have a crutch on like what helps them fall asleep, mm-hmm. essentially. It's like teaching a kid how to tie a shoe. Like if you think it's bad for them because, I don't, oh no, this was the example. Teaching a kid to walk, like, do you just want to hold your yeah. baby their whole life and like not let them fall and get back yeah. up? Because that's what you're doing with sleep training.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, that is so weird. Like,
it only takes one example to shatter your glass.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That is such a good analogy. And it's so true. It's really true. And they're capable of doing it. And, you know, I think, I've been getting some like, I don't know, comments that I don't agree with lately. And I'm just like, every time I see them, I'm like, I just wish they could spend, like, I wish they could be a fly on the wall of my home just to see how like rested and like happy and crazy my children are. Like you go into a room full of kids and you can't tell the difference between the kids that are sleep trained and the kids that sleep in bed with their parents. Like you really can't. Which is good. I mean, different dynamics for different families, but it always pains me to see like messaging out there that discourages families from like exploring their options. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Yeah. Someone asked, yeah. how do you sleep train young babies with older siblings in the house? How do you avoid the little ones waking up?
Yeah. So there's a couple ways that you can do this. The way that I'm thinking about this is if you have the space in your home to have a dedicated, like separate rooms, then you can certainly use separate rooms with a lot of loud white noise, knowing that that will drown out the, I don't know, the crying in both rooms. So in your older child's room, like increase the white noise volume. And then in your younger one's room, also like the proximity between where they are from each other is really, really helpful. However, if say they are sharing a room for families with smaller homes or apartments or things like that, it is totally okay to sleep train in like a bathroom or a closet with ventilation with like a fan. Like I think a lot of people forget that, like, oh, my child needs to be in a bedroom to be sleep trained. That's not true. Like you can use a big walk-in closet. You can use a bathroom as long as like the temperature's fine and the fans are going, you've got good circulation. Or open a window. You can, as long as it's a dedicated space, or it's, you know, you can do it in your room. I would encourage you to do that as long as it's like separate and you've got, like a lot of white noise going. So it can certainly be done. And that's like what's one of the biggest, that's one of the most common questions I get about like families with small homes or families that are sharing rooms, or I have to sleep like babies in my room. Like you can still do it by putting barriers up and using a lot of white noise, or using lesser common rooms to sleep train.
Yeah, those are all amazing tips. For us, we have four children, and we had a sound machine in each of the rooms, a sound machine in the hallway. And even if, I mean, yeah, the kids never woke up. They'd never wake each other up. Even like when one baby is screaming bloody murder and the other room is right next door, they don't wake up.
Yes, it can be done. Don't let
How do you?
the make that an excuse for yourself, whoever asked that question.
Yeah. Someone asked, how do you sleep train a 13-month-old who is a rock star sleeper at night in their own crib but refuses to be put down during naps?
How to sleep train, they asked.
Yeah. How do you sleep train a 13-month-old who's a rock star sleeper at night in their own crib but refuses to be put down during a nap?
Yeah, so if they're sleep trained for nights and a particular method worked for you, so if you got them to have a lot of that overnight success, then approach naps in the same way. It's just going to be a little bit modified. So same thing as bedtime, like have a nap time routine. It can be like 30 seconds. Like you walk into nursery bedroom, set the scene, like lower the blinds, have whatever music or noise that you usually have playing, lay them down wide awake, let them know like it's nap time, and then do whatever method you're doing. So if you're doing pick up, put down, or Ferber or extinction, like do the same method. The difference with daytime is that you want to be cognizant of the amount of time it takes for them to fall asleep. So if they're getting overtired, that's when you kind of want to like scrap it and just try again the next nap, because you don't want them crying for like an hour and then you've got like a really overtired baby that just won't nap, and then that will kind of start to affect like the later naps and your wake windows and things like that. So typically I say if you can't get baby down for a nap with your sleep training method of choice within a half hour, I would like rescue the nap. So just go in, get them to sleep however you can. If you're nursing, if you're rocking, just try again the next nap. However, if they do fall asleep, that's great. Like let's count that as a win. If they wake up before the hour mark, leave them in the crib. Leave them in the crib for until they hit that hour mark. And then so that will like give them a chance to connect their sleep cycles during the day and get back to sleep. So like typically during the day, like daytime sleep, babies will cycle in and out of like sleep cycles. And so you'll see their little eyes pop open on the monitor, like at the 15 or 20 minute mark. And then you'll give them a second, and then like a few minutes later, they're asleep again. So they've connected that cycle. We've got to give them the space to do that by implementing that like hour mark trick that I usually do. With our youngest, she would wake up every like 15 minutes on the dot, and it would drive me crazy. I'm like, what is wrong with my child? Like, should I be sleeping? I have barely like a time to go shower or like get myself not smelly. And I would never, like, I couldn't do anything during her naps because I wasn't giving her a chance to connect her cycles. And when we started sleep training and Maurice like put her down, she would wake up at 15 minutes on the dot, and then like 10 minutes later she'd be asleep. So it's really about like patience and consistency on our part. It's nothing the kid needs to do. Like, we need to be more patient and allow them to like discover their capabilities. I'll
Yeah.
get off my soapbox now.
Girl, I will follow all your advice if I have a fifth child, which I will not.
No, my kids nap great. I've got to wake them up for naps. My youngest, he's on a single nap. He'll sleep like 2 or 3 hours during the day. And then my middle son still naps, but it's only like an hour. But yeah, once you get naps down, like you'll be surprised at how well they can sleep during the day.
Yeah. And I promise you, like, the people that are like, no, they don't need a nap in the day. Like, no, your child does need a nap in the day, and it will help the nighttime sleep so much more.
Yes. Amen to that. Let's jump into, I want to do this question around finances because you have a lot of really Like what I love about your content is you talk people through like your financial setup, some systems in your household that like help you both like run more smoothly, like your family dynamic. So can you talk us through like one or two financial systems or like organizational systems in your guys's home that helped that might help a soon to be mom?
Oh man. So I got really, like I dove deep into my finances right out of college because my boss was very into like giving all of the young people that were straight out of college the right tools to figure out like what they need to be successful in life. And like the biggest thing that he taught me was there like so much of it you can do on your own, and it's all about like being intentional with learning this stuff. But he was like, definitely put most of your investments in mutual index funds. And so like I went down the rabbit hole of
I'm gonna write
learning
this
about like
down. Hold
investing.
on. We take notes. Where's my notebook? No, keep going, please.
So yeah, low cost index funds that like mirror the S&P 500. So that gives you little bits of the 500, the 500 most, the biggest companies in the US. And so that has been my strategy from the beginning. And also putting as much into retirement accounts as possible. And the first thing you always want to do is get your 401k employer match, always. And then once we got a little bit down the rabbit hole of all the financial things, is trying to put as much in retirement into your high yield, your sorry, your HSA, which is your health savings account. And especially as a family, that is so important. But using that account, this is like kind of advanced, but using that account as a retirement account. So,
Your HSA?
yeah. So,
Whoa. Yeah,
this is very.
educate me, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm screaming, apparently.
Keep your voice
Okay,
down.
I get very excited about this topic.
This is literally like me in sleep training. That's
Yeah, no,
100%. Let's
so
do it.
a
I'm
high.
locked in. I'm locked in.
So, an HSA, you don't get taxed on this money. And so, it's money that you can actually invest. And most people don't realize this.
How does that
So,
work?
you can max out your HSA. You can put away, I forget what the limit is this year, 7,500 or 80 something now, 8,300. I don't know. But with whatever custodian you're using through your company, you can select to buy ETFs, like mutual index funds. With that money, and if you do have any health care related expenses, if you're able to not actually use that pot of money in the HSA, that pot of money in your HSA, and keeping all your receipts somewhere safe, like a Google Drive that you'll have forever, that money will actually be able to grow versus using it now for health care expenses. And let's say when you're 70 years old, that $1,000 that you wanted to use now for some dental work that you had, if you never used it and left it invested, that money is going to grow exponentially and it's not taxed. And no one knows about this, which is
Wait, so
insane.
there's no like penalty for this if you're using it for like or even investing it in things that do not intend to be used for medical expenses.
So it's just a regular, it's like an investment account, but it's your HSA. And when you get to 65 and a half or whatever, or whenever, when you get to retirement and you have this pot of money, you can use that money for health expenses when you're older. And most of us have most of our expenses in healthcare when we're old. And so letting that money grow in your HSA is like such, it's very underrated. And most people don't realize that this is like this if of all your retirement accounts, this is, I think, my favorite because it's not taxed.
Yeah.
And when you get to retirement, it will never be taxed.
Amazing.
Yeah. So definitely put money in your HSA and
Okay.
look into this more because.
I don't. So we're, this is, okay, next family meeting. Do you guys have family meetings?
My husband and I were really good at the beginning of this year, but with this whole content thing, it has definitely, we used to have like a sit down every Sunday, and we did talk about financial stuff a lot. And actually, if you're into podcasts, write this one down.
Okay, I'm writing it down.
Afford Anything, by Paula Pant. All of her stuff is incredible, but she has this list. If you like Google Paula Pant and the 52 financial things to do, she literally has like a free PDF and it has 50 things, 52 things you and your spouse need to do to like get your financial house in order. And my husband and I started doing this. And I think we stopped doing it is because we have already done so many things on that list. But if you are getting started with this stuff, I highly recommend downloading this PDF, or she'll email it to you and signing up for it. But it's like 52 things to get your financial house or something. I need to look up what it's called, actually.
Yeah,
Let
I
me look
want
it up
I
because I think
okay.
this information is so important.
Yeah, I want I need it. I need it. Thank you. No, we love talking about all things like family financial strategy. This is really helpful.
Look up like Afford Anything 52 week money challenge or something.
Please do week
Anything.
challenge.
I'm
Amazing.
trying to find the exact one.
Okay.
It's called 2025 One Tweak a Week.
One tweak a week.
Yes. So
Oh, I
highly
see.
recommend doing that. And yeah, that's like the best piece of advice because I could literally talk about this topic
Okay,
forever, forever.
I've got to book some
And
time with
I'll
you.
let us move on because it's already been an hour
Yeah.
and we'll get
Why
to
don't we
more
do?
questions.
Yeah, why don't we do? Do you want to do? We'll do a couple more.
Okay.
Or one more. Or do you want to call it? How much time you got?
I can do a few more. I'll
Okay.
let you decide because you still have
Okay.
to put your babies down.
The
Oh
question
no,
of the
Maurice has got that. Maurice has got. We got, see. I'm relinquishing control of bedtime.
Okay. I love it. I love it.
No,
If you
I
have
get.
any more pressing questions, drop them in the chat. Otherwise, we'll get some questions from the ones we've gotten.
Actually, I'm going to ask you a question off the cuff because this is a question that I actually get from other married couples who are like friends of ours. How soon, if at all, did you and Harrison combine your finances? And do you find that important in your dynamic as a married couple?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think this topic is like very personal and it probably has a lot to do with like the example that your parents set
Yeah,
for you.
for sure.
And both of our families, like finances have been combined.
Yeah.
So for us, it just felt very natural to do that.
Yeah.
And one of the things out of college, like Harrison was very lucky and he didn't have any student loans out of college, and I
Okay.
did.
Yeah.
And so when we first moved in together, I think he just offered. He was like, "Why don't you just pay off your student loans and I will cover our housing?" And that helped me tremendously. And it helped start our marriage with no debt. So that was
Love
a
it.
huge, huge thing
Love
for
it.
us.
Except for the
Yeah.
wedding.
Except for
Except for
the
the wedding.
Well,
Worth it.
we had to
Worth
save a
it.
lot of money for the wedding.
The wedding's got a huge ROI, as you can see. Yeah, no, I have like heavy on the like just the example set by parents or whoever your community was growing up. Because I mean I think it's also cultural too. But yeah, with us, we combined finances from like the very beginning, and I think like that's a it's a huge reason why I think we've been able to do a lot financially and like make a lot of really important financial decisions together is because like my paycheck is his paycheck is my paycheck. I don't think we've not used separate anything except for like I think credit cards, and we both got our like travel point strategy going, and it's a lot of fun for each of us. But
I love that.
actual like liquid assets, combining them has made it really like so much easier and cleaner to like see inflows and outflows and like set goals together. And like we have a very mutual understanding of like things that are necessary expenses. We've got accounts like set up for like core recurring expenses like mortgage, groceries, like all these things, auto payments. And then we have like we see like money going into savings and like where all our money goes. And then we kind of like figure out, okay, what are our like big bolder, little bolder like financial goals, and then set things up that way. And then individually we kind of know like, okay, this is how much like frivolous spending we have to do, which is usually very little, you know, with so many kids. But yeah, it's combining assets has been such a huge factor in I think our like the health of our marriage. And we didn't ex so like my parents, I'm very lucky that they still are very good friends, even though that they're divorced. But one thing that they had got for us before we got married was like premarital counseling, and that came with like financial counseling. And they had asked us a lot of like questions that were really kind of uncomfortable to tread. So like, do either of you have like financial debts that you haven't disclosed with each other? Or, you know, what are some of the bigger purchases that you're ashamed to admit? And it's like all these questions that you never really think about talking through together until you have to.
That's so funny.
And
We discussed the same thing.
And in the moment we were like, why are we doing this? Like, this is so weird. But I think like 2, 3 years into our marriage, and we're like, okay, we need to like think actually move out of our little Oakland apartment and like buy a home and you know, make some big financial choices. I think it really like that exercise made it so much easier to like put on our big boy pants and like actually, okay, this is marriage. Like these really big financial decisions that I think like break down a lot of relationships because they never really either work like did the work to go through that. But I feel like I have so much empathy for those situations because like, I mean, if we had not gone through that, who knows like how we
Yeah.
would have had to, and that might have been a much tougher conversation when it came.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps. That pre-marriage counseling where
Yeah,
you
like
talk
what is
about all the
this?
things.
Okay. Oh, did you see a chat question?
I'm not seeing any more questions in the chat. I don't know if
Okay.
my chat's not updating. If you see one, let me know.
I'm afraid to press anything. I think I'm gonna like, it's just like I've never it's everything there's so many things on the screen. Okay. Let's see. Let's do a content question and then maybe we can close.
Sounds good.
Or we'll see. Let's see. I think this is a question that you got from your question box. How do you live in the moment and deciding on when to create content? That's a really good question.
So I'm literally just like most of my content is like vlogs
Yeah.
of my
So it's probably
life.
easy to do that, right?
So it's just
You are
easy because
living in the moment. Yeah.
I just set up my tripod and I just go about my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is just easy for me to do, but so I'm not like behind my child or something like recording a special moment.
Yeah.
It's just like the chaos that is my life.
Yeah. Like I'm doing this anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes it easy for me to create content, but I do try to only film like once or twice a week, and a lot of my content is recycled. And I'm still like a little self-conscious about it, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure because I look at my analytics and like from the 90K followers that I have, the percentage of those people that saw my content is so little
Right.
that like if you look at your analytics, it can show you like your follower, the percentage of your followers that saw your content.
Oh, I see.
And like some of those reels is like 10%, 20% or whatever. It's like the other eyes that haven't like seen this, but I also don't copy like a reel exactly. Like I'll change like the
Yeah.
voiceover or I'll make
Oh,
it
I see.
different in some way so that it's
You're
still
dropping all the
interesting.
tips. Yeah, your
Yeah,
growth has
so
been insane. I needed to take all the notes from you.
because creating, because for me, I try to create 6 reels a week, and creating 6 brand new
It's hard.
content, like reels, is impossible as a working mom, or like you'll run yourself into the ground doing that. So definitely recycling content, and I need a better system of like keeping my like already edited videos that are ready to go in like a better folder or something. But I have all my content is saved. I don't delete anything, so I have everything. So it takes me sometime a while to find what I want to post because I'm like, where was that again? But I just need to find a folder where I have like my finally edited videos with like no text or voiceover, like just the raw content that's already edited down, and you can just like change the voiceover or change the text on screen to have like a meaningful message. I feel like that's a huge, huge tip. If anyone else is a content creator or wants to create content, or Jenea.
No, I need the tips. I don't do that enough, if at all.
Dude,
I
I
need
mean,
to do
your
that.
content is so original and like so different every time. I'm like, how does she do
But you
it?
know what sucks though is the stuff that you work on really, really hard and then it just flops.
The
I
stuff you
swear.
like, you're like, what am I posting today? I don't know, just this. Like,
Just do
it
this
literally
then.
takes 30 seconds to post, and you're like, why did that one get 1 million views?
I get so mad. And that's what I hear from like creators that have taken off, or they're at like 500,000. They're just like, when you have something that is like that sparks in the moment, like don't do it perfectly, just do it right then, because that's the stuff that gets like that's the stuff that gets really good engagement. And it's the stuff that you're stewing on, or like over editing, or spending hours in CapCut just editing, that will like people can tell through. Like they might not tell, like actually tell, but like subconsciously they can tell that like, oh, this is like, she took too much time on this one.
I feel this.
Yeah, I mean, for me, how do we live in the moment? I try. So I mean, I do a lot of talking to the camera, and I think that's what's helped my platform grow a little bit, because in the first couple years I was doing this, I did not like show my face at all, and I was like, oh, this is so cringy, I don't want anyone to find my page, like everyone from high school is gonna laugh at me, like and then once I got over that, I'm like, well, like who am I trying to impress? Like I like to do this. I would just talk to the camera. So when I do that now, like the more like educational stuff, or like my showing my perspective on something, or going really deep into a topic, I try to do it when my kids are either not home, or if they're preoccupied, like doing something, if they're watching a movie, or if I'm like having some quiet time. I've caught myself a couple times like asking them to be quiet so I could do something. I'm like, I really, that's when I've had to be like, okay, that is not chill. That's not chill. So I've had to
That's a
set
really
boundaries.
hard.
Yeah, and it's hard. I'm just like, okay, like this doesn't matter. Like this does not matter. Like what I want my kids to take away from this. I'm asking them to be quiet for a dumb video, or like, can I put my phone down for a second and like do it later? So it's always gonna like my kids are always gonna trump that. But yeah, I mean, just like how do you live in the moment? I just yeah. When a moment is not to be lived, then I'll do my content.
Yeah, no, for us, it's like I film a lot of my mornings. So one or 2 days, 2 times a week, I'm filming my mornings. Other times, I'm just like fully there. And yeah, my rule is pretty much if my kids are in the room, I'm not on my phone. And when I'm filming myself, I don't even feel like I'm on my phone because I'm just like I just put it
I
there
just set it there.
and like move it around.
Do
But
they ever like come up to the camera and they're just like,
dude, my
hi?
kids are playing with my tripod and camera all of the time. And half the time they're like just making like silly videos themselves now. So
It's so funny.
it's kind of hilarious.
No, your kids are so, they're so cute, just singing in the background. So fun. I also
And
really,
then
like, I appreciate that. I mean, there's so much conversation now about like the age of sharenting and like family bloggers and stuff like that. I really appreciate like the balance that you have. It's very focused. Like, your content is very about your life, and like your kids are part of your life, but like your content is like not about your kids, you know what I mean? So like I really appreciate like how you've presented like yourself and your family online in a very like tasteful way. And I
Oh,
think
thank
that
you.
resonates with a lot of moms that are, like, I want to share my life and I want to, and my kids are a part of my life and I'm really proud of that without kind of going over the top with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a very hard thing for me because this is my, most people don't know this is my sixth Instagram page,
I need
and
to see all the other ones. I want to see,
no,
no, I
you
want to see
don't.
them. Yes, I do. Come on, I deserve that.
Well, the first thing is I tried taking off my personal Instagram page and I was just always hiding behind the camera and it was just my kids. And like people aren't really interested in seeing your kids. Like, so I made my personal page private and I understand that now. But yeah, my other content, it just a lot. I learned a lot. Okay. Let's just leave it at that.
No, I respect it to like start something completely brand new. I've told myself I should go back like to my old content and like start archiving things because it's like really embarrassing. But I'm like, you know what? Let's just hope no one ever scrolls that far back.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man. Okay. Well, I gotta get going. I think this was so much fun. It feels like
I
I'm
know.
FaceTime. It feels like I'm FaceTiming you, and I
It
can't
does.
promise that I won't FaceTime you. I'm just gonna like
Anytime.
catch you when you're not working out or working your job as an engineer or spending time with your husband or doing all the amazing things you're doing. So I really appreciate it. Oh, really quickly, I know we're gonna like record this and post it, but I do have like a little sleep training thing to announce, if that's okay to
Do
everyone.
it. Yes,
Yeah,
everyone sign
so
up for the sleep training.
yay! So I'm having my next sleep training class and workshop on Thursday, October 30th. It is free to register, and anyone who registers will be getting a free copy of my new sleep training guide. So I will be sharing that early to anyone who attends or signs up. It's okay if you don't attend, if you've already attended a class in the past, just sign up so I have your email on file and then I'll shoot that your way. But I will be posting details in a story set right after I get off the phone with Steph. Get off the, what is this? And I alive. Well, thank you so much. This was so fun. We should do
It was
this
so
again.
fun. Definitely. Have a
Did we
good
wake
night.
Wake up your kids? I feel bad.
I think I woke up my kids because I
Okay.
was screaming. Yikes.
Finances, HSA. I love you. This is amazing. Have a good night. Thank you for
You too,
spending your
girl.
evening with me. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.